brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. If I were to put a theme around this particular program, I would say it all comes down to this: God first, others second, me third. Do you live your life that way? God first, others second, me third. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 29 to 36. Brothers and sisters, the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. They're given to us. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Do you know all the gifts you've received through the sacraments? Again, as I've often said, look at the catechism. We have not opened 1/5 of all the gifts that God has for us because we don't believe, because we don't pay attention. And many of the gifts of God lie dormant within us. Again, take a look at the catechism. Look at what it says about baptism, penance, the sacrament of the Eucharist, the sacrament of confirmation, etc., etc. Look at what you've been given. As I've often used this analogy and how true it is, we have many, many gifts that God has given to us, but we've never opened them. We've never inspected them. We've never looked to see what they really are and what God is offering us. God always gives us free will. So he's never going to force. He makes evident the gifts he has given us. But what do we see them as? Rituals we go through in church. All done. Baptism all done. Yep. Confirmed. Yes. First communion. Yes. First reconciliation. Yep. Have everything. As though we studied the course and passed the test and we're done. It's like, okay, that's behind me. Rather than every sacrament received is a whole open mansion. And that's even too small. But it's a mansion of gifts for us. So really encourage you to take a look at the catechism. Paul says, just as you once disobeyed God but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now disobeyed in order that by virtue of the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God delivered all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. God wants to pour forth mercy on us, but we go our separate ways. We go our individual ways. We disobey. We turn away from. We pay no attention to God. And then we wonder why we've got the problems we have. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his judgments. How unsearchable his ways. Don't ever think you can figure God out. How inscrutable are his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. He's infinite. And what he wants to do more than anything else is to draw us to himself. All he wants to do is give us of himself that we might know a certain happiness and peace in this life and in a sense give him away then to others. Not that we lose him. Do you live your life out of that framework? You should, because it's the truth. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given him anything that he may be repaid? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Everything. Comes from the hand of God. Everything good that we have comes from the hand of God. Do we acknowledge it? Do we live out of it? Psalm 69, Lord, in your great love, answer me, because I am afflicted and I am in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Material poverty is one thing, but there's a whole lot of other expressions of poverty. The Lord hears the poor, not just the poor in body or the poor in spirit or the poor in mind or whatever the case may be. He hears all the poor everywhere in the world. And sometimes we have to be brought to a certain poverty before we put our trust in God. Before that, we trust ourselves. Only when things we thought were the right way to go or the best thing to do or the thing we wanted and we forged ahead and it fell to pieces. God wants us to depend on him. Bring him every idea, inspiration. Bring him your talents, your abilities. Bring him your poverty, what you don't have, what you need. Bring him everything and say, Lord, help me to accomplish your will in this life. Help me. You pray that way and God will answer. I promise you. The gospel today is the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. You know, I do this for you so that you will do that for me." That's often our attitude. It can look like kindness or charity or generosity on the outside, but it's really that we are trying to curry favor. And we hope for recompense. We hope that somebody's going to do it back to us. But he says, rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed you will be because of their inability to repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Do you believe that? Do you have the faith to believe that? I said at the beginning of the program, we want to put God first, others second, and ourselves third, me third. Do you live your life that way? Now, I'm not talking about certain necessities when, because of your need or circumstances, you need to ask God for what you need. That's fine to do. What I'm talking about is when we do things for others expecting return, expecting repayment, we lose all spiritual value when we do that. Is God first? Is God's call on my life first? Is my obedience to him and to his word first in my life? And then flowing out from that, do I, and if I'm really listening to God, if I'm really trying to walk in his ways, then the needs of others are going to become more and more prominent in my mind. That doesn't mean you have to take care of every need and every person. None of us can. But it does ask us to face this reality. Do I think of the needs of others has a very important place in my life, or is it just an extra thing that I think about at Christmas or Easter? Do you remember my telling you last Christmas we had a custom in our community of just taking small bags of immediate things that could be helpful to someone, a gift certificate for a hamburger or just a number of little things that we could give at Christmas. But we also included a Christmas card in which we indicated that we would pray for whoever it was received that card. And I know that I mentioned to you this to you last Christmas. When I did that and I was waiting in a very long line, there was a long light. And so I had the opportunity to see their faces when they opened the bags. And I want you to know that all the little things that might be helpful or nice, that was not what drew them. It was the card. And the two people who were there who received the cards, both of them were weeping reading the card. Now, it could have brought back all kinds of memories of their childhood, and they might be in desperate circumstances. But what people need, what the poor need, is the care of other people, not things. I mean, give things. Give those things that they need. But what more are you doing? Are you praying for them? Are you being kind to them? Brothers and sisters, we can so easily check off, I've done my duty for the poor. I gave this away, or I made that possible. And then check off, it's done. It's never done as a Christian. It's never done. It's my call. It's my call in life, is to both receive God's presence in my own life, live according to his word, begin to bear fruit, and then pass that on. Pass that on. It's a call on our lives, brothers and sisters. It's not just a nice deed to do at particular seasons of the year. There's a little poem written by an Irishman, Patrick Kavanagh, and this is what the poem says. I saw Christ today at a street corner stand. In the rags of a beggar he stood. He held ballads, that is song sheets. He held ballads in his hand. He was crying out, two for a penny. Will anyone buy the finest ballads ever made from the stuff of joy? But the blind and the deaf went past, knowing only they're an uncouth ballad seller with tail-matted hair. The blind and the deaf. You know that we're often blind and we're often deaf to what God is trying to call our attention to, that we don't see. We're too busy. But this man says, and I, whom men call fool, his ballads bought. And I found him, capital H, and I found him whom the pieties have vainly sought. There are people who pretend to be very religious, the pieties. They pretend to be very religious, but they're only seeking self-satisfaction and they're only seeking the praise of others. But he said, not that man. I bought his ballads. I read them, and I found Christ. That's what he's saying, in essence. And I, whom men call fool, I'm taken in by this beggar who wants to sell me his song, his ballads bought, and I found him whom the pieties have vainly sought. May it be so for us, brothers and sisters. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.